The real trick is to like what you're doing. If you're not liking what you're writing, probably nobody else is either. So, I mean, you got to keep writing until you find something, a character or a subject at least, that you kind of have fun writing about. Yeah, you know, you hear everywhere about how hard writing is and how it's, you know, you've got to have discipline. You got to sit down every day and do it. Well, yes, that's true. But if you don't like it, if you don't take joy in it, there won't be any joy in the character.
How much backstory is too much backstory? Can there be any backstory at all in your opening chapter? I mean, your characters have to have something going on before the start of the book, right? But what does that really look like? Today's guest is going to help us with all that and so much more. I'm David Gwynn, an agented writer navigating the world of traditional publishing. During this first season of the Thriller 101 podcast, we are going to focus on building the skills necessary to write the kinds of thrillers, suspense, and mystery novels that land you an agent and readers. I'm talking to agents, authors, and other industry professionals about the best way to write a novel. If you want the expert secrets, this is where you're going to find them. Last week on the podcast, I shared an interview with best-selling author Lisa Unger.
As a reader and as a writer, you know, that's my main focus. Like, all plot flows from character for me. Like, there's no plot, and then the characters get fit into the plot. Like, that's just not the way it works. It's like, I hear a character voice, and that character reveals him or herself to me on the page as I write.
She gave some valuable advice on character and how she writes her books. Plus, she revealed where she stands on the pantser versus plotter debate. That interview is linked in the description, so go check it out after you listen to my guest today. Today's guest is Ash Clifton. He was raised in Gainesville, Florida, where he attended the university and got a BA in English. He then earned an MFA in creative writing from the University of Arizona. His short fiction has appeared in the Missouri Review, the Massachusetts Review, Cutthroat, a Journal of the Arts, and Step Away magazine. His debut novel, Twice the Trouble, is out now. It's a masterclass in dripping backstory in a way that feels natural. Ash, thanks so much for being here on Thriller 101. I'm really excited to chat with you.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so your novel, Twice the Trouble, is out now. It's not out now since we're talking, but it's out now when people are hearing this. So how does it feel?
Well, it's still a little unreal. You know, I've been trying to write books for a long time, like many people, and you know, somehow the stars aligned, and I think it's, I'm hoping it does well. I'm hoping people like it.
Yeah. Well, it's a great book. I'm really excited for people to read it. Can you tell us what Twice the Trouble is about?
Well, it's about a private detective in Orlando, Florida, which is a setting that I know somewhat intimately, but isn't very common in the genre, at least not that I've seen. There's lots of mystery fiction set in Florida, but for some reason, Orlando, that's kind of a rap that you wouldn't associate with noir mystery, but that's where I set it. He's in his 30s. He's a former elite athlete. He was a star safety for the Florida Gators. Yes, that's my alma mater. I was not a football player, but he is. You know, he's very strong and he's very smart, and he becomes entangled in a very dark mystery involving an embezzler and a construction firm.
It's such a great story. It's so funny. And we'll talk a little bit about this when we get into character. It felt so rich. And I think because it has that like mystery element, and because he was such a great character. So I really highly suggest people pick it up, even for just the Central Florida vibes alone, I guess, right?
Yes, thanks.
So yeah, how did you come up with the idea for this story?
Well, I mean, I've consumed a lot of mystery fiction in my time. I was actually trained as a quote-unquote literary fiction writer. I went to school. I got an MFA. I read a lot of literary fiction. I wrote a couple of literary fiction novels. And the two novels I wrote, you know, in my youth, they were set here in Gainesville, my hometown. And I worked on them very hard for a long, long time. And I sent them out, and I sent them out to agents. And I kept getting letters that said, you know, this is a well-written book. We like the writing. We just don't like the main character that much. And I thought, well, that's great, because the main character is essentially me. So I thought, well, you know, okay, if you don't like me, I'll write about someone totally different from me. You know, I'm bookish and introverted and very peaceful, non-aggressive. I'll write about somebody who's very strong, isn't afraid to hit people or to get hit, and is involved in some pretty nasty stuff. So, and I had a lot of fun writing it, to my own surprise. I don't know why that would surprise me. I've enjoyed a lot of mystery fiction. But so, yeah, that's kind of, I wrote it kind of as an experiment. But also, I started thinking about some of the people I've met here in town. I have actually met a couple of former Florida Gators. And,
oh, wow.
And there's kind of a neat, they're very different from the kind of people I usually meet in my adult, professional and social life. They're very comfortable with themselves physically. You know, they can do things that other people cannot do. So that interested me as, and also a little bit of, the Jack Reacher thing. I think I've heard Lee Child say that he wanted to create a character that was like, just physically very dangerous and imposing. And I did too. I didn't want to make him a mountain like Jack Reacher, but yeah. I wanted him to be strong and have some physical abilities that most people don't have.
Yeah, that's super cool. That's really interesting. So let's backtrack a little bit. So it sounds like you've always kind of wanted to be a writer. Did you know, even like growing up, was that something that you were interested in?
Yeah, I wrote a lot. I entered a lot of contests when I was in high school, and I was very lucky. I made friends with a writing professor and an English professor here in town when I was very young, and then I took classes with him later on in college. So, and he helped me out, and he read my stuff, and then I took creative writing classes here at Florida with Harry Cruz. I don't know if you know who he is, but
no, I'm not familiar.
Yeah, well, he's a great. He was kind of a legend, and he's actually having a bit of a comeback. The Atlantic wrote a very flattering piece about one of his books a couple of years ago.
Oh wow, cool.
Yeah, but he was a great teacher.
I'm really curious because I was planning on asking you this, but now that I know a little bit more about your background, I'm curious. What are you reading now, or what's something that you've enjoyed recently?
Well, right now I'm actually reading a book by someone I know, Alex Kenna. She wrote a very good mystery novel called What Meets the Eye, and I'm enjoying that a lot. It's very innovative and very smart and very well described. But I mean, I still primarily read, literary novels, I guess. I just finished Joyce Carol Oates' Night, Sleep, Death, the Stars, which is 800 pages long.
Wow.
Yeah, so, but it is a masterpiece, and I think she's our greatest living writer. So yeah, I enjoy that a lot.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's so funny to hear you say that, because, like, running through my head, I'm like, where did I pick up on the literary writing in Twice the Trouble? Like, did you find you had to edit yourself because you were writing too literary, or did you just kind of jump right into the genre and really hit the ground running?
You know, I very deliberately decided to try to write a mystery the same exact way I'd write a literary novel. You know, it starts with the character and getting deep inside their point of view, deep inside their consciousness. And if you are imagining it properly, if you are that person while you're writing, the quote unquote literary part just kind of comes out. You get story naturally, and you get their sensibility and what they like and don't like. And there's no reason you can't do that in a mystery novel.
Yeah, it's cool. So I'm like chomping at the bit here to ask you questions about the book and about the character. But before we do that, I like to ask authors to give their agents a shout out. So you're rep by Cindy Bullard of Birch Literary. What is it that you like so much about working with Cindy?
Well, I made a very good personal connection with Cindy as soon as we first spoke. She's very smart. She has a lot of experience, and she's also very, she's very kind. I was a little freaked out when I got the call. She was very nice to me, and, she answered all my questions, and she seemed to have vast knowledge about, the industry. And I had looked at her client list, and obviously I was impressed by some of the people she was publishing. I'm sure you are too.
That's right.
but yeah, and and she's funny. That was a big thing for me. I wanted somebody with a sense of humor, so he was also very smart.
Okay, let's pause there for a second. Ash talked about his writing process, his long road to publication, and gave some insights into the publishing world. But in the next part of the interview, he's going to share how he thinks about developing characters over the course of a novel, how to develop character voice, transitioning from an idea about your characters to what that actually looks like and how it's delivered on the page, and even how to weave in backstory. There's a lot still to come. But before we get to it, I wanted to remind you that I write a weekly newsletter through Thriller 101 with exclusive information, advice, and updates you only get from the newsletter. I talk about goal setting, systems, productivity, and I share the best resources and advice for thriller writers from all around the internet. If you want to level up your writing skills, be sure to subscribe. There's a link in the description where you can do that.
I'm really curious about this, about how you built this character in Nolan twice. So I love the way that he was developed over the course of the story. When you're taking that idea of, you know, you want somebody who's physically strong, you want somebody who's not afraid, like, how do you get from there to translating that onto the page?
Well, you know, I hate the word pantser, but I am a pantser. You know, I am one of those people who has no clue what's going to happen, and except in the very vaguest sense about where this, forget about where the book is going. I don't know where this chapter is going. And in keeping with that, you know, as I said, I did want to write about somebody with those attributes, those physical attributes. I really didn't know anything more about that, except that he was going to be a football player. And then, you know, as I was writing, I discovered that he had been injured. His career had been ended very suddenly and violently by an over-aggressive tackle by somebody who ends up being his best friend. And you know, it got me thinking about, the culture of violence that football in America kind of represents. And I discovered as I was writing him that he doesn't watch football. He doesn't enjoy watching football anymore. He avoids it, but he misses sports. And, you know, and from that, you know, I learned that his dad was a cop and that he had been a cop. And, you know, that is kind of a natural transition for athletes to go into some kind of physical labor, you know, physical job, like being a police officer. So,
yeah, it's interesting. And what, can you talk a little bit about his voice? So was that something that came to you, like once you had all these things, was writing his voice really easy, or is that something that happened over a couple drafts?
That's a really good question. I mean, I hate to say that he talks a lot like me, but he does. I mean, but I've hung out with so many, like I said, I've hung out with some athletes, I've hung out with some cops, and you know, bro culture is a thing, you know, and they have their own way of speaking. But, you know, I wanted him to be smart too. I wanted him to have gone to college. You know, he finished his degree. So, yeah, that just kind of came out naturally, I guess, just from the way my friends, and, you know, I'm not as young as he is. But fortunately, I've had a lot of jobs where I worked with a lot of young people. So I sort of keep up, not super well, but I sort of keep up with, you know, what kids today are doing, you know, the cool kids, how their lingo, as it were. So yeah, but thanks for saying.
Yeah, that's good stuff. So the backstory I thought was so interesting because I think it was kind of like perfectly weaved in. You know, you didn't overload at the beginning. It was really kind of dropped in over the course of the novel. Is that something that you just like happened naturally as you're writing? Because it sounds like you're kind of writing by the seat of your pants here. Is that something that you had to like drop in naturally, or is that something that you really like later on had to go through and decide where everything kind of fit in?
Well, for me, that's kind of it does kind of drop in naturally once you learn the craft of being inside somebody's head. And I read a lot of novice fiction writers' fiction, you know, in a writing group. And one of the qualities of novice fiction is that, you know, the exposition is just kind of thrown at you. You know, it's almost like a cue card thrown at your face, you know, like, yeah, this guy was divorced 7 years ago. And, you know, and ever since then, he's been miserable. That's not how a guy thinks about his own past. You know, he might see somebody who looks like his ex-wife, you know, across the street. For a second, he thinks it is his ex-wife. And his heart stops for a second because he's still in love with his ex-wife. And that's how you tell the reader, oh, he has an ex-wife, you know. That woman looks like, you know, Heidi or whatever, you know. And I wish he hadn't left me, you know, with two kids and the farm.
It's great advice for people who are listening. And a lot of people who listen to this podcast are, you know, thriller, mystery, suspense writers and kind of want to be where you're at. So, and a lot of writers, if you're listening to this, definitely check out Twice the Trouble, the character, the backstory. I mean, it's all, I mean, you're listening to Ash talk about it, like it's a masterclass in how to pull it off. So for people who are listening who kind of want to be where you're at, any last advice on how to develop a great character like Nolan Twice?
The real trick is to like what you're doing. If you're not liking what you're writing, probably nobody else is either. So, I mean, you got to keep writing until you find something, a character or a subject at least, that you kind of have fun writing about. You know, you hear everywhere about how hard writing is and how it's, you know, you've got to have discipline. You got to sit down, every day and do it. Well, yes, that's true. But if you don't like it, if you don't take joy in it, there won't be any joy in the character that you're trying to render. And I don't care if you're rendering a monster, you know, if you're writing about, you know, the talented Mr. Ripley. I mean, there's going to be a sense of enjoyment in there, a sense of the love of what you're describing. And the more you like it, the more you'll imagine it properly and see it in your own head. And anyway, that's what works for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. So my last question for you is just, where can people find you? Where can people look you up?
Well, I've got a website, ashcliftonwriter.com. I used to have a different website, but I morphed it into that. I still get like 10 times as many hits on my old site as that one, but please go to that one. And the book is up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and, you know, all the usual suspects.
And if you're listening and you want to get in touch with Ash, I'll link to his website there and you'll have quick access to him and his books. Like I said, definitely pick this one up. This one was a very fun read. So Ash, it has been an absolute pleasure. I've thoroughly enjoyed talking to you. Thanks so much for making the time to chat.
Thank you, David. I really appreciate it.
Okay, so that's it. I found it really insightful how Ash thinks about developing character and backstory in a way that is natural for your reader. Now's the time for you to go through your opening chapter and think about the way you introduce your character to your readers. Are you doing it in an authentic way that readers will enjoy? Are there places where you need to scale back the backstory or bump up the voice a little bit? Next time in the podcast, I'll be talking to Mel Madison about his debut novel. He has such an interesting backstory. If you haven't already subscribed to the podcast, be sure to do that so you don't miss that episode. And while you're at it, remember to sign up for the Thriller 101 newsletter for writing and publishing advice. And I'll see you next week.